May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
3 days ago, we celebrated our nation's Independence Day. In calmer political times, the 4th of July is a laid-back summer holiday with parades and cookouts, family gatherings, and neighborhoods having a barbecue, and often some fireworks displays. This year, our national holiday is accompanied by rousing, sometimes raging, rhetoric, and competing protests, all of which leads me to contemplate what sort of freedom are we celebrating? Freedom from tyranny or freedom for tyranny? Across the world, we see elected leaders pursuing agendas of influence and control, highlighted by political and military arm twisting and brinksmanship. All the while, thousands flee the tyranny of poverty and violence in their home countries. Many of them make their way to U.S. borders, a freedom journey, in the hope of finding safety and opportunity, sanctuary. Jesus sent 70 of his followers out on a different kind of freedom journey. They traveled in pairs ahead of Jesus to places where he intended to go, not where he'd already been, to pave the way and open the doors. They were breaking new ground, so to speak, and their freedom journey was all about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and his freeing love and expanding his work. It must have been scary walking along into unfamiliar environments with just one partner at your side, and talking to strangers about a different, unexpected sort of salvation. Their inspiration was Jesus, who had declared his purpose at the outset of his ministry. "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor," he said. "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." His purpose became theirs: release of captives, restoration of well-being, freedom from oppression. Does this sound familiar at all? Have any of you wrestled lately, as I have, with thoughts about the desperate people at our borders? Now, not only in Central American immigrants in Texas, but also Africans arriving in Portland, Maine, just 163 miles north of us on Interstate 95. God's children are at our doors, crying out for freedom, for salvation, for relief, for redemption. And they are not only at our borders. Others in our communities are hurting and hungry and isolated. Are we not called also, like those 70, to go out and do what we can do to relieve their suffering and work for justice? What does the Almighty expect of us? What can one person or even one congregation do in the face of such misery? Well, it might only be small things, but small things have a way of accumulating to make a big difference to someone and maybe a whole lot of someones who are in need. The 70 disciples went out like lambs into the midst of wolves, as Jesus said. And perhaps they were tentative at first, as we sometimes are. And perhaps they attempted only small things. But they cared for God's people, and they spread the word. By taking a risk, they embodied the good news. And in them, Jesus' message of love became incarnate for real people in real time. By the grace of God, individuals and groups continue to step forward and care for folks who are ignored or falling through the cracks. A young man that I read of recently, a member of St. John's Episcopal Church in Wichita, Kansas, saw such a need a while back and decided he had the experience and the skill to make a difference. As a nurse working in a variety of clinics and hospitals, Joshua Reed saw patients arrive with serious complications that could have been avoided if they had access to medical care that didn't require a phone call to make an appointment or a car to get there. He researched best practices for care with those who are homeless, and he traveled from Kansas all the way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to see if a model of street medicine there would work at home. And he went back convinced that it would. So while he was still working full time in an area emergency room, Joshua started what he called the ICT street team. If you want to know why ICT, you can ask me later. It's a registered nonprofit organization, and it consists of a trailer with exam tables stocked with everything a healthcare professional would need to treat the kinds of conditions that they saw in homeless patients. Donations from pharmaceutical firms allowed him to provide antibiotics, insulin, and other medications that without charge. And St. John's Church stores the meds that need to be refrigerated, along with other supplies. The trailer is also equipped with to run diagnostic tests, including blood work and EKGs, to better treat the patients. Joshua says that the street team provides availability and consistency, two keys for people living on the streets. Every Wednesday and Saturday, they are in the parking lot across from St. John's Church. And when they hand out medicine for high blood pressure or insulin for diabetics, they ask people to come back for follow-up testing. And the patients know that they will be there. Joshua Reed, I think, is a great example of current followers of Jesus who are living out what our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, calls the way of love. Like the 70 disciples in our gospel lesson, he and his colleagues journey out to meet real hurting people and serve them where they are, offering them a special kind of freedom, relief from suffering, and the knowledge that someone sees them and cares. Ultimate salvation, of course, is up to God. In this life, however, we look to one another for salvation that can be offered by human hands and hearts. Like the 70 disciples, if we want to live into our calling as followers of Jesus, we have to step out, take a risk, and start a freedom journey of our own for the sake of others. May God be with us on the way. Amen. Amen.